Lately, brethren, especially these past couple weeks, the thought of reaching Papa's age, 80 years old, 90, was pretty overwhelming. The thought of getting to that age just seemed impossible. And so recently, the Lord seemed to be placing upon my heart to speak about joy and pursuing joy. And I found a lot of comfort in these words, the words of John 15:11. So you can turn there. I know you all are familiar with it. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Dear Lord, I thank you once again to come together with the saints, the majestic ones, your children, your beloved bride. I thank you for giving us life and breath, each heartbeat. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you, walking with you, another day to serve you, another day to seek your face, to look forward to that day of seeing your face as it is. Lord, to be with you forever and ever. Lord, I thank you for giving us such words as these. I thank you for giving not just a joy, but your very joy, and filling us with it to the full. Lord, I pray you would do that. I ask, Lord, that you would give us more of your Holy Spirit abundantly. You'd pour it forth right here, right now. Lord, I ask you'd be with our brethren and other cities, Laredo, Austin, Topeka, Michael. Lord, I pray you'd be with John and Judy today and strengthen them mightily. And Father, strengthen me here and keep me from saying things that I shouldn't. And I pray you'd encourage the brethren and give us that fruit of the Spirit, joy, Lord. I pray they'd go forth this week and be encouraged and have more of it. So be with us this hour, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, brethren, just what a challenge it is to have more joy. We acknowledge that. Right here in the upper room, this is the upper room discourse. Jesus is talking with his disciples. 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. 27, do not let your heart be troubled. 15:6, your heart is filled with sorrow. It's a reality. The amount of things that can squash our joy can be overwhelming. Amidst the world, the devil, sin, isn't it amazing that David said, let the godly sing for joy on their beds? That's one of the hardest times to sing for joy. You get done with a day and you lay on your pillow and you think back of everything that you said or should have said and didn't say and the things you wish you would have done better, the way you didn't love your wife as you wanted to, the way you didn't love that brother or sister like you wanted to. And yet at the end, brethren, we can sing for joy when we lay our head on our pillow. What a grace that is. In a way, it comes natural for the Christian to be able to do that. And in another way, not so much. That saying, let go and let God, is a terrible statement. I mean, if we're going to have joy, we have to pursue it. We have to be about it. And we have to encourage our hearts and encourage one another. It's a challenge to have more joy. And so I just want to put before you this goal, this virtue of joy. And I have four headings. Joy as a great virtue. Number two, it's an attribute of the Lord. And number three, we can have a fuller joy. We can have more of it. It can be more full. Number four, what makes for a deeper joy? So Those are my four headings. And so what is joy? Well, joy we know is an emotion of the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. And it causes us to see the beauty of Christ. The beauty of Christ in His Word and in the world. Notice that the Lord here, He didn't say more love. He didn't say more peace. He didn't see many other attributes He could have mentioned, but He said joy. I want your joy to be full. So He sets it forth right here before the disciples. I want you to have some more joy. Here's a goal for you all. When you wake up, what do you think of that? Like pursuing joy. Something that the Lord wants. His kindness in giving us an example. I am grateful that these men here were not perfect. They had their faults. And Christ, He gave us many things to think about and to help us, to encourage us in the same way He did His disciples. And one of these things here, these things that He spoke to them, was so that their joy may be full. So I want to run through some verses here quickly, and I'm going to go fairly fast, but it's joy is a mark of the true church. And where do I get that? From Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, it says that tongues like fire fell upon them and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. In our grace group, one of the main requests when Tim asked, like, what is the one thing that you want more than anything? Well, many said the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're asking for. Joy. It said that it was said of them that they thought they were filled with new wine. And they went on, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. That's what we want, brethren. When we want more of the Spirit, we want more of that supernatural joy. To where it's people wonder, like, what is up with them? Why are they filled with this? They seem like they're filled with new wine. And isn't it amazing? One of the Lord's first miracles was filling these jars to the very brim with not just any wine, but the best wine. And so He wants our joy to be full. He wants us to be joyful people. So secondly, it's a heavenly thing. The angels rejoice over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It's the Spirit's work. The disciples, Acts 13, were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's a part of the kingdom of God. Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is it? Joy, righteousness, peace in the Holy Spirit. Paul, he often talked about joy. It was a great motivator for him. He wanted to stay and continue with those Philippians for their progress and joy in the faith. Progress and joy. Making more progress in joy. When we think about when we first were saved, yeah, we rejoiced a lot, but that continuing joy, that progress and joy where it's a lasting, it goes all the way to the end. That's what Paul wanted for them, this a deep, lasting joy. 2 Corinthians 1, not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. In your faith, you are standing firm. And in prayer, there was a brother in Sedalia, he actually got me into firefighting, and every time he prayed, it seemed like it was about others, and it was just rejoicing over others. Philippians 1:4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Unity. Why should we remain in unity? It's so that Tim and James and Jeff and John and all the elders can have joy. Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. When you think about that, unity, think about the elders. I want them to have joy. I want unity in the church. Josh prayed for that this morning. Unity in the church, that there would be joy, that they would have joy in what God has given them to do. Sacrifice. Joy enables us to sell everything for the joy of gaining Christ. God loves a cheerful giver, those who are just glad to do it, glad to give for the Lord. And strength and endurance, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength, that is our refuge and hiding place, a place to get shelter. I just don't think of joy of the Lord like that. We're running as a shelter. You face the day and you feel beat down. We'll sing some hymns, find some joy in the Lord, and that will be a great shelter for you. And notice that the Lord, His endurance, Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so lastly, again here in John 15, just the Lord's concern for the disciples that their joy may be full. It's one of His concerns. And so it's okay to pursue it. It's okay to want more joy. It's okay to ask for more joy. It's one of the Lord's concerns. It's something that He wants us to ask of Him. So joy is a virtue. That's my first point. Secondly, attribute of the Lord. It's a divine gift, right? And where do I see that? From this verse right here. My joy. It's not just any joy, but it's His joy. It's His powerful joy that He had that He enabled Him to endure the cross. I love the example that my dad gave when he was just a boy. There was this neighboring farmer, and I guess he asked my grandpa if he'd come work for him. And apparently, he was maybe a big time farmer, and he loved this guy, and so he went and worked for him. And at the end of the day, the guy actually paid my dad. And he just remembers thinking, like, you don't even have to pay me. Like, it was just a joy to work for you, just to do what you said. It was just a joy to work for you. And how much more for God? How much more? What a joy and an ability to serve Him and to know Him. The God of the universe, who created all things. He died for us. He sustains us. He breathed life into us. And just to serve Him. To go and be a part of His work, to have a work in His kingdom, a part in His kingdom of saving souls, of serving others. It comes from a knowledge of Him. It's the Lord of glory. And this is who He is. I think I often forget of God as a God of great joy. Jeremiah 32:41, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Isaiah 65, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sounds of weeping and crying will no longer be heard in her. Rejoices over us, delights in us. I mean, it's hard to wrap our minds around. It's mind-blowing that God would rejoice in us. What a wonderful thing, brethren. God rejoices in us. How much more should we rejoice in Him? So it's a divine attribute. And it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord has given the Spirit. This is the age of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit produces a joy that is supernatural. And Christ, He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He said, I praise You, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Again, it's Christ's joy that He gives to us. It's like Joseph in Egypt. He was the only one with grain. They went to Joseph. They went to Egypt. Hey, you have to go there to get some grain. Well, Christ is the same way. No one else has that supernatural joy. He has it and He's willing to give it. It's His joy. It's His grain and He wants to give it out to us freely. And we can ask Him for more of that. Christ, although a man of sorrows, had the fullest measure of joy. We know that, right? We see that in Luke 10 when He rejoiced greatly. He took the whole sin of mankind, the wrath of God, everything upon Him. The Father was pleased to crush Him. He was forsaken. And yet, Hebrews 1:9, You know what it says? You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness above all your companions. That's Christ. He went through all of that, and yet, oil of gladness above your companions. No one went through anything more miserable, more hard than Christ, and yet he had more joy than anyone else on the face of the earth. It was unaffected by circumstances. It was a deep, lasting joy. Moving on, a fuller joy. So it is possible to have a complete, a fuller joy. The Bible often talks about this. Grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Christ, grow in love, grow in peace, and we can grow in joy. We can have more of it than yesterday. And I feel like it can be a luxury to be depressed. The Lord convicted me one day just coming home from work, and Charity told me, "Evan, I don't know like how you're going to be coming from work sometimes. I don't know if you're going to be up, you're going to be down." And that shouldn't be the case. As Christians, we should, for in general, be rejoicing always. And it takes some humility, especially to rejoice in when others are rejoicing. And I long to be more like that. I long to be more stable, more mature, and not take the easy road. I had a horrible night. Just take the luxury of being depressed. I want them to feel it. I want them to feel that or know that I'm depressed. Instead of just rejoicing in the Lord, he saved me. I've been born again. The Lord himself, he went without sleep serving people and helping people. So, and it's not that we escape those sorrows. It's not that we try and ignore them and forget that they're there. They're real sorrows. But we learn to handle the trials better, don't we? Peter said, "Now for a season, you are in trials." I know of a few brethren in some trials right now. Roel, he's in some trials. Just talking with him during lunch. The Lord has us in some seasons of trials and sorrows, but the Lord gets us through them, and he bears those for us. And the Lord himself, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch for me." So I'm just saying, brethren, it's not that they're not there and we don't feel them, but the Lord is able to come alongside us and give us more of that joy. And that's what I want to encourage you with, brethren, is just to not satisfy with that, but ask the Lord for more joy, that he may give it in a fuller measure, and you may grow in joy. And we can pray that for one another. We can pray that for the elders. We can pray that for our spouses, that they may have more joy and may grow in it. So, lastly, what makes for a deeper joy? And, you know, there's certain times to take in food, take in protein that stimulates more growth, produces more muscle. There's a certain time frame. There's certain things that causes for more joy. It causes for more growth and joy. And so, what are some things? What are some things to, you know, the Lord, he overcame, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb, the devil. But at the same time, we must resist him. We must resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So we're not mechanical in it. The Lord tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. You got to prevent it. You got to make sure your heart's not troubled. As George Mueller said, "I make it my aim each morning to get up and make my heart happy in the Lord." And I remember Andy Hamilton said a similar thing, just waking up and feeling, I think he said, as dead as a hammer, and falling on his knees. He says he begins to seek God, and the Lord comes and helps him. And so that's it, brethren. Every day, waking up, "Lord, would you make me more joyful? Would you give me more joy?" So, truth is very vital. The Lord said, "These things I have spoken to you." And so, what things did the Lord tell them? What things were helpful? You know, David said, "Unless your law has been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Sounds pretty critical. If he didn't have the law, it sounds like he would have perished. And don't you know, brethren, so oftentimes looking back, a word, a comment said by someone, that kind of saved you. I mean, you think back and it's like, boy, if that brother or sister didn't say that, I don't know where I'd be right now. Or if the Lord hadn't given me that verse, that promise, I'm not sure where I'd be right now. And so the Lord does that. He gives us words. He gives us truth to lay upon. And surely it was all this upper room discourse, but I think it was more than that. I think it was his whole time he was with them, just sharing the good news, the gospel, the truth with them. Just the truth of, I love this verse, and we share it on the east side a lot, or east side do, that God justifies the ungodly for those who put their faith in Christ. And just thinking how you can't perceive how precious Christ is and the glory of the gospel, except being brokenhearted, except when you see your sin. The self-sufficient person is disgusted at the gospel. The ungodly, and when sinners repent, it annoys them. I mean, you have this feast with the Pharisee. This Pharisee and the woman who comes and anoints Jesus. She pours that perfume, and he takes annoyance in that. Here, this lady comes, and she pours out this perfume and washes his feet. And instead of rejoicing in that woman's repentance, he confines himself to think about her former bad character and who she was. And he doesn't realize the wonderful change that the Lord makes upon a sinner's heart and life. And this taking them from the state they were in, and that full remission of sin through faith in Christ. It's getting away from the gospel. And when we think about the gospel and who we were, we have this lasting joy. Brethren, here it is. You want more joy? Have a deeper, lasting joy? You have to have a deep conviction of sin. The more you see who you were and what Christ saved you from, the more joy you'll have and rejoicing in the gospel. And the less you'll look at others and be in, your joy will be impacted. I think for me, a great killer of my joy is envy and jealousy. And just looking at others, looking at, you know, there was Peter. He looked at John. And he said, "Lord, what about this guy? Like, you know, what about him?" And the Lord says, "What is that to you? You follow me. Just follow me. Rejoice in me. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly." And just looking at others always kind of critically, kind of thinking, "What's the Lord doing with them? Why isn't he doing that with me?" Instead of just doing like this lady and just, "I've got some perfume. I'm going to pour it out on the Lord's feet and rejoice in the fact that he's saved me from what I used to be." So another thing to watch out for, brethren, is things that the Lord gives us to do. He gave the disciples an ability to cast out demons, right? And they came back and they saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. An authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And remember what the Lord said? Don't rejoice in that, guys. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so it's very easy, like the Pharisees. You know, there was the Pharisee, there was this tax collector. They both went up to the temple. And the Pharisee was like, "Well, I'm so glad I'm not like this guy. I'm like, I've done this, I've done that. I tithe, I fast, I do all these things." And it's so easy to get caught up in what the Lord has given us an ability to achieve and not continue to rejoice in the fact that he saved me, that he's washed my sins. There were many and not go away justified like this tax collector. He went away justified because he just cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." So rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your citizenship is in heaven. And that you, there we have a Savior that awaits us. Stand firm in that. That's the strength, that's the refuge, is rejoicing in the fact that Christ has saved you. So what makes for some more joy? Well, let's look at Christ's example, his obedience. He obeyed to the point of death, even death on a cross. Looking back, I grew up on a farm. I didn't always have joy in my work. I didn't always those tomato rows, when I was miserable, they looked like a mile long. And when I realized, like, hey, it's not that bad. Like, I just paid for my truck. I just paid for my schooling. My dad has provided, mom has provided all this for me to work and to earn a way. And just when I realized, like, it's not that bad. I mean, things weren't that bad. The row was only actually 400 feet long, not a mile long. And the Lord got me through it. I escaped that concentration camp. But I like this. I don't know what Puritan it was, but he said, the oil of gladness makes the wheels of obedience run smooth. And so just obeying joyfully goes a long way. Just being obedient to his word, making that a priority. And then too, just avoiding things that cause for depression. Maintain your body, maintain your car, change the oil in your car. Otherwise, the engine is going to fail and you're going to be depressed. You know, just simple things like that can really, really help, really protect our joy. And then another amazing one, which I really don't know much about, is being persecuted for righteousness. Surely we have that in a little bit, in a few ways here and there, but not near the extent of what it was back then or what a lot of Christians go through. But the Lord does say, blessed are those who are persecuted. Rejoice and dance for joy. And surely that is just the Holy Spirit helping us. Because I mean, our bodies hate that type of thing. And just to be able to rejoice in that is supernatural. And so may the Lord give us that. Who knows what the Lord has for us, but just being able to rejoice and dance in the wonderful privilege of serving the Lord and being persecuted for him. Paul and Silas, they're in the prison. Here they're locked up, chained up, beaten in stocks or whatever, and they're singing hymns to God. And that's when people were saved. That's when the Lord came and the Philippian jailer was saved. And I just think of one of the best things that we can do as a testimony in the workplace, wherever we're at, is do all things without grumbling or disputing. I mean, that is one of the biggest things I feel like people realize is why is this person always rejoicing and always happy? And even though things are going against them, even though persecuted, it's just able to rejoice, and that's Christ. And prayer, no doubt prayer. John 16:24, ask and receive that your joy may be full. When we ask and the Lord grants us our requests, you know, surely Tim and Ruby were rejoicing with exceedingly great joy when Josh was saved and still are. And may we see that more and more, just children saved here in our midst. Keep asking, brethren. Keep asking for that. The Lord wants your joy full, and that's going to make your joy full for sure. I can only imagine. Keep asking, brethren. Rejoice in others. You see others doing well? Just rejoice in that. Rejoice that the Lord's given them grace and help and strength in doing that. Philippians 4:11, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So just rejoice in others, serve others, and seek to do them good, and the Lord will give you so much joy in that. So, brethren, what it really comes down to is just rejoicing in the Lord. That is the key, is the Lord. It's not happiness that we're talking about. Happiness is, you know, happenstance. It depends on what's happening at that moment. But joy is rooted in the Lord, and nobody can take it away. The Lord said that. No one will take your joy away. You know, I think of that the parable the Lord gave. Here's this strong man. And if someone's going to plunder, they have to bind that strong man. And the Lord is the source of our joy. And if he's going to take away our joy, they have to bind that strong. They have to bind the Lord. The Lord has to change in some way. And we know he's never going to change. we know that robe of righteousness that we have is His, and it's never going to change. Day after day, it's the same. And we can rejoice in that. That's what I want you to think about. And remember, rejoicing in the Lord. Remember what kind of a Savior we have. If I could just share a few things that came to my mind. The Lord, here He is at the end of His life, and He's hanging there on the cross, and He tells His disciple, "My mother, take care of her." That's who we have. I mean, you'd think at the very end, there's one moment maybe we could think about Himself, but He's thinking about others there again. That's who we have. He rejoices in us, like I was saying earlier. He delights in us. The psalmist says He causes the east and the west to shout for joy. Whatever that means, I don't know. It sounds glorious, though. He crowns the year with His goodness. I mean, the Lord's almost given me another year on the 12th, and crowns the year with His goodness. That's one way I would say of this year, just crowning it with His goodness. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. The Lord takes no delight in His children being troubled or distressed, does He? He knows we have to go through them. He knows if we're distressed for a little while. The disciples were distressed for a little while. The Lord was leaving them. But He said, soon your joy will be full. And so the Lord has left and He's coming back, and soon our joy will be full. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we may have more joy. I love how the Lord, when He helps people, He doesn't just do it a little. I mean, Peter, they're out on the boat, and Peter's fished all night, and they didn't catch anything. And the Lord, He tells him to put out his net, and He says, "We've toiled all night, done everything I can. You're not a fisherman, Lord. You're a carpenter. I know how to fish. I've toiled all night, but I'll do it anyway." He throws out his net, and the Lord doesn't just give him 1 or 5 or 10 fishes, but He gives him almost too much to where it breaks. And I just pray for that, brethren. May the Lord give us so much joy that it's like our bodies can't contain it. I mean, I've heard of a few preachers say that, where it's just so much joy, so much presence of the Lord, it's almost too much to bear. It's overflowing. It's all the way to the brim, like those barrels. May we have that, brethren. So we are the privileged people to bring the good news, the great news, great joy of salvation to all the people. And I pray our rejoicing would be in full now in our salvation and come as we enter into His rest of joy. That's what I had, brethren.